Hello, I tell men it's Tuesday Night Cheer. Tonight's cheer is sponsored by Pearl and David Shafter to commemorate the outside of David's mother, Shana Rivka of Ari Lave, and by Aviva and David Horowitz to commemorate the outside of David's mother, Chaya Gittel of Yaakov Yosef.
Good evening. Thought we'd talk a little bit about the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, which is a topic in the parasha for the past 2 weeks. And we'll see whether it'll be a one-parter or a two-parter. But just to get a little bit acquainted with this fundamental mitzvah, very fundamental obligation, is essentially the Pledge of Allegiance to Judaism, and occupies a very important role in our daily functioning. It's the introduction to the Talmud, the first Mishnah in Chash, starts off talking about the obligation of Kriya Shema. There's much discussion of the Forshim over there as to why this has to be the introduction to Torah Shabbat Peh. Some suggest that it's a correlate to the Aseret HaDibros, which is the Aseret HaDibros in Torah Shabbat Chav. It starts with Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So too, Torah Shabbat Peh should start with Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So that obligation that we have of Kriya Shema, it's generally understood that this is a mitzvah in our Torah. That's how it's generally assumed, even though it's not the only position that's there. In fact, it's actually a machlokas in the Gemara, and it's not even unanimous as far as how it's paskin. The Gemara presents the question. The Gemara Masechas Brachos and Daf Chav Dalet presents the question of whether Kriya Shema is min haTorah or not, and it presents it in the context of one of the standard ramifications we have of that question. Normally, when that question is asked, is a mitzvah min haTorah, a mitzvah min haRabbanan? So one of the reasons it makes a difference is if you have a situation of suffix. You have a situation where you're not sure whether you're obligated or not. So we know the rule is that if it's a mitzvah min haTorah, so we say suffix deraisa l'chumra, then you have to assume that you are obligated. And if it's a din derabbanan, so then we're entitled to say suffix derabbanan l'kula, and we can exempt you. So the question then comes up in the context of Kriya Shema. Somebody's not sure whether or not he recited Kriya Shema, so do we assume that he is obligated to recite it, misafik, or do we say that he's exempt? So that was a question of Gemara, machlokas in the Gemara. So there is this position presented there that Kriya Shema is derabbanan. And there are some Rishonim, some of the Balei HaTosfos pass in this way. There are a couple of Tosfos scattered around, the Tosfos in Maseches Menachos and the Tosfos in Maseches Sota. I seem to take this view that Kriya Shema is actually the Rabbanan. Some of the Balei HaTosfos point out that if that's the case, then Kriya Shema is the Rabbanan. So it's very difficult because we have so many drushes in the Gemara, the whole first three Prakim of Shash, are all talking about halachos of Kriya Shema, and it's in general interpreting sukkim. So to say that all of those sukkim are asmachtas, that they're not really actual drushes, is very hard to believe. So we have a compromised position here also, but it could be that really Kriya Shema itself may be drabanan, but the idea that we should recite something, that we should say some sukkim in the morning and some sukkim in the evening, that's min haTorah, and the question of what it should be, so that's the din d'rabban, and that's the d'rabban that it should be Kriya Shema. So it's interesting, so there is this ongoing debate a little bit, even though by now the overwhelming majority of Rishonim certainly do paskin Kriya Shema as min haTorah, but we see that it is somewhat of a discussion, and therefore it then becomes a question as to what is the intention of the Torah when we read with the Baratem Bam. So is that a reference to Kriya Shema, or is it a reference to something else? It's a reference to Talmud Torah. The Or Sameach, in his essay in the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, so he has a comment there which maybe we wouldn't want to publicize so much, that the Gemara has a drush in Maseches Chulin that it's prohibited to talk to Varim B'Teilim, to talk about things that are Bittul Torah is a prohibition because the Pasuk said Dibartem Bam, but we shouldn't be talking about other things. So says the Or Sameach, the whole thrust of that drasha is assuming that Kriya Shema is min haTorah. So assuming that pasuk is referring to Talmud Torah. But if that would be the case, that would mean that it's not talking about Kriya Shema and Kriya Shema is Rabbanah. But since we assume that Kriya Shema is not Torah, so according to us, the Baratim Bam is talking about Kriya Shema, so therefore the whole Drasha might not be Halacha Maisa. So I don't know if we want to publicize this so much in the Yeshivas, but it's an idea that might be out there that goes to this question of what is this pasuk telling us? Is it telling us an obligation of Talmud Torah, or is it telling us an obligation of Kriya Shema? So again, we have a vast majority of Rishonim coming down on the side that Kriya Shema is not Torah. But even to say that much leaves us with a lot of room to question. Because what exactly does that mean to say Kriya Shema is not Torah? What exactly constitutes Kriya Shema on a level min ha-Torah? And that was again a debate in the Rishonim. That there were those who maintained, or who appeared to maintain, based on interpreting their opinions in various places, that Kriya Shema is an obligation in HaTorah applies to the first pasuk. And there are a number of indications from the Gemara, a couple of Gemaras in the beginning of the second parak of Bracha, tells us about the Bihud HaNashi, who would cover his eyes, recite Shema Yisrael, and says the Gemara, Zohi Kriya Shema Shel Bihud HaNashi, apparently he was willing to be satisfied with that much. The Gemara also tells us about instructions that were given to a shamash that he should only wake him up if he sees that he's trying to say Kriya Shema and he's falling asleep. So he should only wake him up in the first pasuk. But if he made it to the first pasuk already and then he's falling asleep after that, to leave him alone. So it kind of gives you the impression that the only thing he's really worried about is this first pasuk, Shema Yisrael. So you have Ramban and others who take this view that that's the real obligation of Menat Torah. It's just that one pasuk. On the other hand, you have Rishonim, perhaps such as Rashi and others, who would maintain that the entire first paragraph of Kriya Shema is Menat Torah. And that has its own internal logic as well, because that was what we read together in previous week's parasha, in Parashas Vayeshchanan, in the first section of Kriya Shema. So that's all that's there. Those three paragraphs of Kriya Shema are not together in the Torah. So it's a little bit difficult to say that whatever mitzvah is derived from that parasha is going to include things that aren't there, include things that you have to stitch together from different places. We could see why that might be a little difficult to say. So if one were to maintain that's the obligation, so we could understand why that should be. It has a certain logic to it. It brings up an interesting question, because there's something that we say there that's not there, and that's Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Vayeh. So what exactly is the status of that phrase there is an interesting question, because I shouldn't be allowed to say it if it's not part of Kriya Shema, because the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of the second part that I'm not allowed to interrupt in the middle of Kriya Shema. I can't stick things in there in between the prakim, in between the paragraphs, that either whether you want to consider it in the middle of the paragraph or in between the paragraphs, either one, there's a prohibition in both cases. So I shouldn't be allowed to stick something there that's not part of Kriya Shema. So what exactly is the story in terms of Baruch Shem? So we might be familiar with the history. There's a little bit of a story that's related in the Gemara Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara tells us that Yaakov Avinu, when he was at the end of his life, so he wanted to reveal to his descendants what the future held. So he wanted to clue them in. Hikesh Legalo says, okay, so he wanted to reveal what was going to happen, and then he found that as he was going to do that, so his Ruach HaKodesh left him. So he lost his ability to do this. So he thought that it must be there's something wrong with his descendants, because maybe it's some problem with them that stopped him from being able to say what he was going to say. So they picked up on this. Ephraim and Manasseh's grandchildren, they picked up on what was going on. The Yaakov was doubting their qualifications, doubting their religiosity. So they said to him, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That you should know Yisrael, that as the Gemara interprets, Kishem She'ein V'libach Elechad, just like in your heart there's only one God, we also only recognize one God. We are just as from as you are. You shouldn't be worried about us. So in response to that, Yaakov says, oh, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vayeh, I'm very relieved to hear that. That's terrific. So the Gemara says, so what do we do with this sentence? So this sentence, on the one hand, Yaakov said it. On the other hand, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it. So what do we do with it? So the Gemara has this a little bit difficult to understand answer. So our solution is that we say it silently, except on Yom Kippur when we say it out loud. So what does that accomplish? It's an interesting question. So what was the issue to begin with? So it sounds like it's an issue of hefsek, like we're afraid, how can we insert something here in Kriya Shema, which was not part of what Moshe said. So here the Slach has an interesting comment. This will be the second thing tonight that we probably shouldn't publicize to people. Slach says that the idea is, it's really you don't want to tell people in shuls, but the Slach seems to take the position that perhaps the Gemara is telling us that if you whisper something, that's not called a hefsek. That if you were worried about interrupting a little davening, but if it's a whisper, it's not a hefsek. Again, this is not something you want to publicize, but it's a question whether or not the folks can agree with this, but it's an interesting point. What is the Gemara saying when it says that by whispering we somehow solve the problem? Okay, so we have this Baruch Shem Kvod Mofusa. And it's a discussion in Poskim. There's a truth about this in the Sefer Leva Avram, and a truth about this in Igros Moshe, as far as what's the status of that pasuk. Is it a part of Kriya Shema? Does it become part of the whole thing? Or is it not part of Kriya Shema, but it's something that's permissible to say? And the special dinim that apply, let's say, to the first pasuk, we find special halachas of Kavana that apply to the first pasuk. So is this applicable to Baruch Shem, or is Baruch Shem really a different thing. So that's a discussion in Poskim. But in any event, so we have this position that this whole first paragraph, which Baruch Shem is somehow part of, maybe that's what's in the Torah, and everything else might not be. Another position that you find is that the first two paragraphs in the Torah, maybe that's the case. So that also has a logic to it, because those, the first two paragraphs are where you find the words either Dibartim Bam or Daber Bam, so we find an obligation contained within these paragraphs. And this was the view of the Pri Chodesh. The Pri Chodesh is the commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. In the back of Shulchan Aruch, you have the Pri Chodesh. The Pri Chodesh writes that he thinks this is the most logical position, that he surveys all the views, he thinks this makes the most sense to say that the first two paragraphs of the Kriya Shema, that's the Mitzvah Menat Torah. And you have another view as well, that may be the first three paragraphs of Menat Torah, the whole set, basically. Now, that's a little bit harder to explain from a textual basis why that should be. We don't really have a source that's clearly stating that. So it seems to be that it really comes from a different angle. And that's the way it sounds like in the Rambam. The Rambam in the Mishneh Torah seems to take this view, that all three paragraphs of Kriya Shema is the Hareza Kriya Shema, that's what's considered to be Kriya Shema. But the third paragraph, it seems like it's from his language, that it's not about Kriya Shema per se, but it's about another obligation, that we have an obligation of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that seems to have the same time requirements. Just like we have an obligation of Kriya Shema every morning and every night, so we have an obligation of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim every morning and every night. So that makes sense on that level. And perhaps that's what's going on. So it's not simply convenient. It's not just that we're saying, okay, we have this obligation for this time slot and this obligation for the same time slot. Let's find a way to graph them together and take care of them all in one outing. But there's more to it than that. And Soloveitchik has a long shiur about this in his shiur Mosaif Rabbi Mori. There's a discussion about how this interrelates, where he explains that really there's actually two dinim in Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, as a general Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. But then there's another halacha of remembering the Exodus, which is specifically in the context of Kabbalah Ol Malchus HaMayim, that in the setting in which we acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so part of doing that is to do that through the experience of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that becomes then part of Kriya Shema that is motivated by Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not simply that they both work out, let's take a ride with each other because they're all in the same time slot, but they have this connection that they're essentially related on that level. Okay, so we have this discussion in one paragraph, one sentence, one paragraph, two paragraphs, three paragraphs. Then we also have the structure of the brachas. The brachas are the Rabbanan, but as we'll discuss, it's also a little bit unclear what is the status of the brachos. The brachos, what they sound like, brachos kriyashma, brachos attached to the mitzvah of kriyashma. Or is it, as some Rishonim maintain, that really it's not a bracha for Kriya Shema? These are tfilos. These are tfilos that Chazal instituted, and they package them around Kriya Shema. So they got the name Brachos Kriya Shema because of their setting around Kriya Shema, the brachos that are formatted together with Kriya Shema, but not that they necessarily have a din of a Brachos HaMitzvah for Kriya Shema. And that could have a number of ramifications. It's interesting, there's a debate on the Rishonim in general, if you have a mitzvah, you're not sure if you have to do a mitzvah or not. It's just a suffix mitzvah. So as we said before, if it's a suffix mitzvah manat arish, so then you have to assume that you have to do it, and you should perform the mitzvah. But you make a bracha in that case, if you're only doing the mitzvah out of a suffix, so do you still recite a bracha on the mitzvah? So that was a machlokas harishon, machlokas between the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah. It comes up in a couple of cases, like for example, we have an obligation of Torah Kisha Hadam. If you shech the behemoth, so you're supposed to cover the blood, that's a mitzvah menat arish. If you shech the chaya, a wild animal, so you don't have such an obligation. So let's say it's what the Gemara calls a koi, it's in between, and we're not sure, or it's unclear whether it's a behemoth or a chaya. So you're going to have to do shchi, you have to kishe adam, or also because it's still a mitzvah menat arish, and we're not sure. So if you make a bracha on that kishe adam, so that was a machlok kishar rishon. Or let's say if you have a situation where somebody appears to be born, a boy appears to be born with a bris milah already. So then the din is we give him a bris anyway, but some of the Rishonim understand that that's really not necessary. Perhaps it could be that you could, in theory, be born with a milah, but we don't know that's the case. Maybe there really is an arla and we don't see it, and maybe it's just fooling us somehow. So because of the suffix, we'll perform a milah, but that's really what the status of this din is. It's really a suffix milah. So again, the question comes up, so should you make a bracha in such a case? And again, have to upload the Shai Rishon. So the Rambam's general position is that if the mitzvah itself is a suffix, that you don't make a bracha. So if that's the case, so some point out that this is unusual, because around the Hilchos Kriya Shema in Perek Beis Halacha Yud Gimel, Rambam writes that when it comes to Kriya Shema, the person is not sure whether he said Kriya Shema, so he has to say Kriya Shema, like the one opinion of the Gemara that we started off with. But he says also you should recite the bracha. So the commentary to Kesef Mishnah is there against the Shita normally says if you're doing a mitzvah misafik, you don't make a bracha. So some explain that this is not a normal brachas ha-mitzvah. This is the way Chazal said to do it. They said whenever you say Kriya Shema, you put it into the package of the brachas, and that's the structure of Kriya Shema. That's not a bracha like a brachas ha-mitzvah that we have in other cases. This is a bracha that is really a tefillah that's associated with Kriya Shema. So that we'll discuss. That could affect a number of issues. A number of questions might be affected by how we understand the brachos of Kriya Shema, and whether they follow halachas of Kriya Shema, or perhaps, as many do understand, they really follow the halachas of tefillah. Maybe they're tefillah components rather than Kriya Shema.
Having Kriya Shema components.
So, what about the concept that we have, we recite Kriya Shema during the daytime and during the nighttime? So twice a day, twice every 24 hours. So that was machlokas harishonim about that as well. Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether that should be considered one obligation or two obligations, with one mitzvah that has two zones, or does each one constitute its own mitzvah? And that could make a difference also. There are some who suggest, there is a sefer on Masechet Brachos entitled Klinchus Pnei Yehoshua, not to be confused with the Pnei Yehoshua, which is a much more well-known sefer. This is a much later sefer called the Klinchus Pnei Yehoshua. And it's a little bit of an overstatement to say it's on Masechet Brachos, because it's not on the whole Masechet. It's on the first parak. It's not really on the whole first parak. It's on the first daf. But it's not on the whole first daf. It's on the first omer. As I say, for it all in the first Amud of Masechet Brachos on Beis and Aleph, he has a number of essays on this topic, on this Amud. So there he points out that if you look in the Rishonim when they count the Mitzvah Kriya Shema, so there's a subtle difference that you might not notice if he wasn't telling you to pay attention, that there is, let's assume the Mitzvah Kriya Shema comes from the phrase Tzibayit Tabam V'Sitachav V'Sacha. Mishach b'chav kumecha. Rak tamam mishach b'chav kumecha. So there are some Rishonim who say, oh, you have a fee of Kriya Shema, because the Torah says, Gebartzim Bam. And others say, oh, you have it because of Shach Bacha B'Kumacha. So does it make a difference which part of the sentence you emphasize? So he thought it does make a difference. Because if you're saying Gebartzim Bam is the source, so you're really saying that's one mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Then, Shach B'chav Kumecha, that's the zone, that's the detail. You do it at night, you do it in the morning, but it's essentially one mitzvah. Well, if you say that B'shach B'chav Kumecha, that's the source, so then it's two mitzvahs, so a mitzvah of B'shach B'chav, a mitzvah of Kumecha, each one is sourcing its own mitzvah. So that could make a difference also. We get into the discussion of the whole notion of Zman, Kriya Shema. The idea that Kriya Shema is attached to a certain time. So this is really the topic of the first Mishnah in Shas. And to kind of skip that point and get to the idea of Kriya Shema during the daytime. So this puts a big pressure on our lives to make Kriya Shema. We have to get up in time to recite Kriya Shema in the morning. And the Keshe Mishnah had a problem with this. The Keshe Mishnah, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, has a commentary on the Rambam entitled the Keshe Mishnah, so he notes an objection based on the following point. Now, what's the latest time that you can recite Kriya Shema at night? So it's Machlokas in the Mishnah, there's three opinions. The first opinion is Rabbi Yeshua, nobody follows that view. His view is that Kriya Shema can only be said until the end of the first Ashmar, or the end of the first watch. So what is that? So the Machlokas of the Gemara, it's either a third of the night or a quarter of the night. So with some fraction of the night, when it's over, then Kriya Shema is over. The other two opinions in the Mishnah, as the Mishnah already begins to explain, they're really saying the same thing. They really agree with the same theory. Because the opinion of Rabban Gamliel is that Kriya Shema is all night. Shach Bacha means the whole time that you're lying down. And Chachamim, who say a different position, Chachamim say it can only be read until Chatzos, until halfway through the night. So the Mishnah tells us that Rabban Gamliel maintained that, and he seems to be correct about this, that really Chachamim agree with him that Kriya Shema is all night. But they made a gezeirah. They said that it shouldn't be actually read all night because we're afraid because people will come to not treat it properly and they'll say, okay, I have a little bit of time, I'll take a nap, I'll watch the ball game, I'll have a snack, I'll do whatever, and then they're not going to get to it because they'll think they'll do it at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, and then they're going to sit and take a nap in their chair and they'll wake up and they'll have missed the entire Kriya Shema. So as I'll say, no, you shouldn't do that, rather we're going to draw a boundary, and you can only recite Kriya Shema until Chatzos. So that's a question what that means. It's a question whether or not there was such a gezeirah actually. It's Machlokas among the Rishonim whether or not that gezeirah is actually in place. There is a more extreme view of Rabbeinu Yonah, that Rabbeinu Yonah explained that the nature of this gezeirah that Chazal made is a surprising gezeirah, because you might assume, most of us probably would assume, that if you're going to say that you have this gezeirah of Chatzos, it means, okay, I have to try, I can't tell myself I'll wait till 2 o'clock in the morning, I have to do it before Chatzos. But let's say it is 2 o'clock in the morning, so let's say I missed Chatzos, so most of us would assume, so then I should recite Kriya Shema then. So Rabbi Yonah explained in the view of Chachamim, he says, no, it's not true, that we know we have this idea that Chachamim can sometimes be oker hadav min haTorah, they can uproot a mitzvah that exists min haTorah. We have the example of blowing shofar on Shabbos, let's say. So normally the Torah says to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, so every day of the week, that's what we do, we blow the shofar. It falls out on Shabbos, so blow shofar on Shabbos also. And here, Chazal came along and they said, no, don't do that, and that even though that's a mitzvah min haTorah, we're going to tell you not to, because they're concerned for Chilul Shabbos. So Rabbeinu Yonah is maintaining that according to Chachamim, the same will be true when it comes to Kriya Shema, that Chazal canceled the mitzvah, and therefore after Chatzos, before they came along, you'd be able to recite Kriya Shema, they came and they took it off the books. which is very surprising because we don't really have a precedent in Shas for that. The examples that we have in the Gemara are cases where Chazal said, we're afraid you're going to commit this Avera, so don't do this mitzvah for fear you're going to commit that Avera. Here we're saying, don't do this mitzvah so we can make sure you'll do the mitzvah, which is a very unusual type of gezeira. Whether it means that so you won't mess up tomorrow night, we'll punish you tonight, or maybe it means like Cholam Moed shaving type of gezeira, you're not going to push it off if you know that it's not going to be an option later in the night. Whatever it is, it's an unusual type of gezeira. And the idea of a gezeira for Kriya Shema is itself unusual, because normally we find a gezeira still prevents you from committing transgressions. The idea of a gezeira to protect the mitzvah saseh is already a very unusual idea, which may underscore the idea that it's a special mitzvah. It's not a normal mitzvah saseh, but it's, again, a pledge of allegiance to the Jewish people. So maybe it has a special status. Maybe it has a different din that sets it apart. So if that's the case, okay. So there is a discussion about what happens after Chatzos. And Rabbeinu Yonah has this radical view that they canceled out the mitzvah. And a lot of the Sfarim that came later disagreed. Shagasai disagreed. And Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in which he disagrees, but the truth is it's not such a big deal because Rabbeinu Yonah himself disagrees. Because Rabbeinu Yonah himself really maintains that the obligation, this is only the way he would understand it according to Chachamim, but that's what Chachamim meant. But he himself holds that Gamliel is right, so he doesn't pass through the Gezeirah anyway. Because if there was the Gezeirah, that's what Chachamim meant by the Gezeirah. Again, the question of whether the Gezer exists, it's all from Machlokas HaRishonim, but that's what you have in the Mishnah. So essentially, everyone agrees with the view of Chachamim, that the Rinnah of Gamliel, basically, that Kriya Shema goes all night. That's how we understand B'Shach B'cha. So that's how it seems to understand. He's together with a few other Rishonim on that we don't have a din of Chatzos. So that was one opinion in Mishnah, and we don't follow that din. It's interesting, basically we have the Tshuva, that it seems to flip, that there are some Rishonim who maintain that there's such a Gezeirah by Matzah, and that Matzah of Pesach Nei should be Chatzos, and it's the opposite. The ones who maintain you have it by Matzah don't have it by Kriya Shema, and vice versa. And there's also another discussion, because the Mishnah goes on to say that Rabbeinu Gamliel says that Chachamim really agree with me that Kriya Shema should be up until Chatzos. And he says it's not just that, but Kol Masha Amu Chachamim Chatzos Mitzvah Shanasi Al Marasacha. And he goes on to say Hekta Chalav Veivar Mitzvah Shanasi Al Marasacha, that the burning of the fats in the limbs, which is what the Ma'ariv is based on, the Shachas and Mincha are patterned after the Talmud. And Meyer was patterned after the burning of the Chalav and the Evarim. So it sounds like from the Mishnah you have the same story, that it could be done all night. And it was a Gezeirah of Chatzos. So that's actually Machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. The Rashi says that it's not true, that there's no Gezeirah there. Chachamim trusted the Kohanim not to make a mistake. It's just thrown into the Mishnah to make the point that the Mishnah normally goes all night, which reads a little bit interestingly, but that's that itself is a machlokas. So the whole question of the Chatzos Gezeirah is itself is a helpful story. You know, we certainly try v'chachila to satisfy everybody to say Kriya Shema before Chatzos, and it doesn't hurt. But again, the theory, so we have the basic principle that you can say Kriya Shema all night. So says the Ketzef Mishnah, so it's not fair. Because why do we have this pressure of Kriya Shema having a Sof Zman in the daytime, which we assume is 3 hours into the day, 3 halachic hours, a quarter of the day of the daytime period? Why should we have this pressure? It's not parallel. We have the Shach B'cha of Kumecha. Sounds like the two should be parallel. It sounds like if the Shach B'cha is all night, so the Kumecha should be all day. They should mend. So it says the Chatzos Mishnah on the strength of that question. So that shows you that it must be as long as Kriya Shema is only the Rabbanan. So that's the third thing tonight that we shouldn't publicize. The view of the Chatzos Mishnah that Man Kriya Shema is the Rabbanan. So despite the distinguished pedigree of this position, wasn't a captive either. It's generally assumed that Chosma Kriya Shma represents on a level Minat Torah, this idea of a soul's man. And the question of the Kesef Mishnah wasn't necessarily considered to be such a bomb question. As the Taz and Mugna Ram point out, so first of all, just linguistically, it's different. We don't mean the same thing. That the idea of shachpacha means you are lying down. Kumecha means that you, not that you're standing up, that would be amida. Kumecha means you are getting up. So getting up is only the beginning part of the day. Well, b'shachpacha, that's the entire night. That's how they explain. But they also bring up, the Magen Avraham brings up another question. Says Magen Avraham, it's explicit in the Mishnah that the Kesef Mishnah is wrong. The Mishnah is against it. Why is that? Because the Mishnah tells us, and Machlokas of Bavli and Yerushalmi, how to understand this then, but the Mishnah tells us that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So why are they exempt? So in the Bavli's betrayal, they're exempt because it's a mitzvah sasaisha as man grama. So that's why women are governed, why women are exempted from this mitzvah. So says the Magen Avraham, according to you, Kesef Mishnah, it's not the case. Right? According to you, the mitzvah is running 24/7. So if the mitzvah is running 24/7, so how could the Mishnah call it a mitzvah sasaisha as man grama? So some explain, the Shach Sari has a whole discussion about this. That no, the Kesef Mishnah could make sense. That it might be that what we have here is a machlokas about what's called a mitzvah sasaisha as man grama. Is it a mitzvah that is not running 24/7? Or if it is running 24/7, but it's taking shifts, you have a daytime version and a nighttime version, so maybe that's still called mitzvah sasaisha as man grama, even though it is going 24/7, but it's not really the same mitzvah. It's taking shifts. So that's a question. And that could affect the issue of also Zechiras Yetziat Mitzrayim, which seems to have a similar structure that might have the same issue applying to it. And this could also then go to the question mentioned before, is Kriya Shema one mitzvah or two mitzvahs? So do we say there's one mitzvah applying in these two zones? And maybe that would be the idea of saying that it's not Zman Grama, it's going all the time. Or do we say that it isn't, that it is two mitzvahs, and therefore it is Zman Grama because one applies when the other one doesn't. The truth is, one can make a case that even if it was one mitzvah, and even if it was only once a day, that should still be Zman Grama, because even if it's always in play, but still it expires. The Monday Kriya Shema expires when Tuesday begins, and the Tuesday Kriya Shema expires when Wednesday begins. So the mitzvah is still time bound. It's just that there's no time when it's not, when there's no Kriya Shema happening. It still has to happen at a set time. So that's what convinced.
That would be in time growing?
I don't have another model to say that it wouldn't be. Because there are other types of not Zman Grama. There's a really mitzvah that you can do any time. Right, here you have a mitzvah which is running all the time. But it's not like I can say, well, I can do Kriya Shema tomorrow. I can't. The Kriya Shema I do tomorrow is a different Kriya Shema. So it's not really comparable to any other model to think about it. Yeah, so it's like Tfilin. You know, we relate to as mitzvah as Zman Grama because of the nighttime and because of Shabbos. But it would be interesting to question if it wasn't for that, but every day you still have to wear Tfilin. If it wasn't for that, we'd be wearing Tfilin continuously. It's something to think about. In any case, so this gets us up to the whole issue of Zman Kriya Shema at night, which has got its own structural issues. So maybe we'll leave that one for next week, and we'll just review here what we spoke about. But one of the primary issues we have to figure out, and this is a whole discussion of itself, is that one thing is, okay, so we figured out when Zman Kriya Shema at night ends, doesn't end, but what about when it begins? So what seems to be from the Mishnah is that it begins at Tzei Shek L'Chav. The Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says when the Kohanim go into the Truma, which is a little bit of a mysterious clue. And the Gemara explains the reference to Tzei Shek L'Chav. So the problem is that we know that very often people daven early Maariv, and they say Kriya Shema before. So So what does that mean? So that's a whole fight in Rishonim. Technically, it's the first Machlokas Rishonim in Shas. Machlokas between the first Tosfos and the third or so Rashi and others. That's the whole discussion, and we'll push that for next week. So just to a quick review we spoke about tonight. So we spoke about the fact that we assume Kriya Shema as a mitzvah in the Torah, even though it's Machlokas Megemara and the Rashi Rishonim Pasim is to Rabbanan, or that what content of the Rabbanan, even if it's a mitzvah in the Torah, to say something in the morning and the evening. But most Rishonim assume that Kriya Shema is Min HaTorah, and therefore, as the Arsamech points out, the Drasha of Yibar Tabam, Rav Zvar Mikhailim, may not be Ali with the Hotzah. That was the first thing we said, not to publicize. Three things total tonight, and that was the first thing. So then, even if we assume it's the right, there's still a question what that means. So one view is one pasuk, like the Ramban, and certain Gemaras supporting that. The next view is the first paragraph, like Rashi, and then the whole question of Baruch Shem, what is that? Is that part of Kriya Shema, or is it simply permissible over there? And to have the same din as the first pasuk. That's a discussion. Is it the first two paragraphs of Ketir Chodesh? Is it all three paragraphs? The third paragraph really coming from Zechiris Kiyos Mitzrayim, and that's what the Rav explains really what the Rambam is getting at. And then we discuss Berachos Kriya Shema, whether it's a Baracha for Kriya Shema, whether it's a Tefillah in that structure. We mentioned the fact the Rambam says you should recite Berachos Kriya Shema even if you're only saying Kriya Shema out of Safek, which seems to differ from the view in general. And then we talked about the question whether it's one mitzvah or two mitzvahs, not what's in the Rambam ban, and various questions that could be affected by that. And then we talked about the question of Zman Kriya Shema, Kriya Shema at night. We find the three opinions in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua, who don't pass him like Rabbi Gamliel, that's all night. Chachamim will probably agree with him in theory, even though they make a Gezeirah of Chachos. We discussed whether that Gezeirah exists or not, or whether we would go so far as Rabbi Yonah and Chachamim to say that the view is that Gezeirah not only exists, but it cancels Kriya Shema after that time, the radical view that Shagasai, you know, races and others disagree with. And then we talked about the Kesher Vishnu's view that there shouldn't be as Zman Kriya Shema because it's not parallel. That if we pass him like Rabbi Yeshua, they can only say Kriya Shema in the beginning of the night, so then it would be parallel. If we pass him like Rabbi Gamliel, but it's all night, so it should be all day also. So as Taz and Avram disagreed, explained that first of all, it's linguistically not the case, it's not the same word, they don't really match. And the Mishnah tells us explicitly that according to the Kesef of Mishnah, it's going to be running all day. That's not Mitzvah Seisha of Mangramma, and here that doesn't seem to be the case. And apparently the view of the Kesef of Mishnah is that if it's running the whole time, but it takes shifts, it goes from nighttime to daytime, that's called Mitzvah Seisha of Mangramma. We mentioned it may or may not be dependent on the question of whether it's one mitzvah or two mitzvahs, and that got us to the doorstep of the issue of Kriya Shema at night, not just the latest time, but the earliest time, and what seems to be the case in the Mishnah is that the earliest time is Seisha Kol Chavim, so we have to figure out how is it that we're allowed to say Kriya Shema at an earlier time, how is it that the shuls are reciting Kriya Shema earlier, and that was a topic which we said, God willing, we'll pick up from the next one.
Okay.